Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Vero-Law. Yes, today our guest is Mark Gonska, Executive Vice President, Chief Connections Officer at Dyson Company. And today we're going to be talking about the very important topic right here in January 2019, since we're kicking off the year, of avoiding career self-sabotage. Mark, welcome to the show.
It is great to be here, David, in 2020. I'm excited about it, and I can't wait to talk through this important topic.
Well, you know, what's really important is that people say, hey, January, I'm going to kick off. This is the new year. It's exciting. And sometimes we just go headstrong into the new year, and we're saying, I'm going to get a new career this year, Mark. I'm going to do it. And yet, well, things happen.
Well, I got to tell you, I've been successful in last year's New Year's resolutions. I promised that I would actually drink more and gain weight. And so I limited them and really focused those resolutions. But we're not talking about that today, thankfully. We're going to talk about careers and some of the subtle and not so subtle things that you can do to undermine your own career success. We've seen it again and again. But most of them are easier to avoid than you think. So I'm excited about sharing some of those thoughts with you, David.
Yeah, let's talk about some of them, obviously. We'll kick right at the beginning here. We're going to look at what are some of the myths as to if you're going to manage your career. What are some of the myths that happen?
They sound so good. They sound so honorable. And one might be, my work will speak for itself. There's no sense in me talking around the horn and letting other people know what I'm up to, because after all, I don't need to, because my work will speak for itself. As you know, I've been involved with quite a few employee terminations, and it's not unheard of that somebody says, somebody who's just gotten bad news that they're losing their job, they may say, just wait till they see what it's like when I'm not here. Nobody knows all the good stuff I've been doing. And that foolish CEO, she doesn't even have a clue how much value I've added here. She's ridiculous. And do you hear what they're saying? They thought their work would speak for itself. So how'd they get fired? Well, the truth is your work has absolutely no voice whatsoever, unless you give it voice. And your work doesn't speak for itself, okay? If nobody knows what you're doing, you might as well be doing nothing. And it's not the CEO's job, it's not the boss's job to figure out what you're doing. It's your job to help the boss understand how you're adding value and to calibrate. You might be working passionately, diligently, long hours, getting there early, staying late, and working with all your heart and enthusiasm on the wrong things.
So true, Mark. You know, it's interesting as you say it. You know, people sometimes, for example, they are going for internal promotions and they say, oh, you know, I'm going to go apply for that new role. And they know me. They know what I've done. And
I've been here for years. How could they not?
How could they not know that type of thing? And then they get in front of the panel and people are asking questions and they almost seem miffed. Like, how could you ask me these questions? You know what I do. Like, this is like a charade, right? Why bother? It's Dave. You know, the guy who's been here for 5 years. I'm invaluable to you. It's amazing, isn't it?
It'd be interesting to try a little test. And that just being asking peers, asking subordinates, and asking those who might be higher up on the corporate ladder from you, who do you think Dave is? What's the Dave brand? what's Dave known for, in your view? And you might be really surprised, because all of us human beings kind of think we're the center of the universe, and everything's all about me, me, and me. But the reality is, most of the people who we work with think the same thing about themselves. They are concerned about themselves, not so much about Dave or Mark. So they might not have too much of an opinion when asked, how does Dave add value? What's Dave known for? I don't know. So the thought that by osmosis and without any branding, without any proactive steps, without any articulation of who you are, what you have to offer, what your objectives are, how you can solve problems, if you are not talking about those because you assume everybody knows Dave, you might be really setting yourself up for disappointment here in 2020.
No, there's no question that it's very important to really take a good inventory of what your position really is. Look, you should always be prepared, right? It's the old Boy Scout model, be prepared. And, you know, we're going to be talking today about thinking about that next career if you're prepared for it, right? As you make sure that you're prepared for your moving forward date, whatever that might be, whether it's your choice or somebody else's.
Can we touch on another myth, Dave?
Absolutely.
Because in addition to the myth that my work will speak for itself, which is certainly not true, the other myth I wanted to speak about, and there's several of them, but one more might be, there's no sense in me letting others know how I'm adding value. And here's the myth, because after all, that's what I get paid for.
Yeah. So true.
Dangerous, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Why?
Well, because the only person that's going to promote you is probably your mother, and she doesn't work with you.
As we were growing up with mother, we were told, don't brag about yourself.
That's right.
And honestly, I think there was a time when the boss woman or the boss man was in direct line of sight to the worker bees. So perhaps, you know, back in those days, the boss could see what you were up to. But today, we're in a whole different world. Technology might have the boss in a different country, or a different time zone at least, or certainly in a different building, and unable to see what we are or aren't doing. So it's not bragging to articulate to the boss or summarize in an email, if that's the way that he likes to roll, here's the priorities that I have, and here's the impact that I've made on those priorities today or this week. Even if the boss isn't asking for that information, it's a proactive way to let people know, here's what I'm up to. So the notion that, well, that's what I get paid for, why would I brag about that? It's not bragging. It's data exchange, and it's critically important.
There's no question about it. You know, it's as you said, what does your boss really know, and how do they really know you? And, you know, reviews typically have been once a year, so you have 11 months of unknown time. Now, yes, we are now going to more, you know, progressive reviews, quarterly or monthly, but still, there are periods of time where organizations don't share how well you're doing. You really don't know unless you ask or unless you have that communication. I think your point is well taken.
Sometimes we're working hard, but not all that smart. And I can speak from painful experience, because in my early days in the corporate world, I followed my dad, who was a hero of mine. I followed his advice. You be the first guy there in the morning to make the coffee, and you work hard all day, keep your mouth shut, keep your nose clean, don't cause any problems, and just get the work done. And you stay there until the last dog is hung. You're the last guy to unplug the coffee pot at the end of the day. And I took his advice in my corporate role in a Fortune 100 company. I was the first guy there, and I worked diligently. The few things that we got measured on, I was the top of 400 people, and I felt pretty confident that my star was getting brighter every day, and I was probably going to get a major league promotion when my boss reached out to me and said, Mark, you need to come to my office. We need to talk. I thought, well, great, Paul. That's fantastic. We're probably going to have a chat here about a sizable raise or maybe an increase in title, maybe a move to a bigger office or a broader set of responsibilities. You'll never guess what Paul had to say.
It was time to go.
It was indeed. And I didn't get it because I had done those things. I'd worked hard. And I said to myself all along throughout my career at that particular company, I'm not going to waste time politicking and kissing up to the boss. So guess what? I didn't do any of that. I was so above that. My work would be, I just work harder. And when push came to shove and they had to make a list of a couple hundred people to lay off, my boss really didn't have any understanding of what I actually did. So it looked like another position on the org chart and a great way to save some money. And it really was my fault, not his, and I didn't even realize it.
To your point, this relationship between the employee and the supervisor or the boss, you know, I think to your point, it's not about sucking up, right? It's not about kissing butt. It's about making sure that the boss understands that you have value and you want to make sure that that you're authentic with him or her, right? To make sure that there is an understanding, a relationship. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, a big part of protecting that relationship is calibration. So it's not just talking over a cup of coffee, but it's understanding what matters and what matters most to the boss. Because most of us have 25, 30 hours of work on our desks, if we even have a desk these days. So the notion that we could ever get it all done is going to be blown to smithereens tomorrow when there's another 20 or 30 hours worth of important things that show up. And in the old days, we used the Stephen Covey concept that there's some things that are not urgent and they're not important. There's some things that are urgent, like the phone ringing. But if the phone rings, we have no idea until we pick it up whether it's important or not. But then there's some things that are really important, but we're not necessarily working on those every day because it's not like putting out a fire. Well, without conversation with the boss, we cannot figure out what really matters. And maybe the boss's priorities have changed. Maybe she or he was just in a board meeting where a 180 has occurred, and we were going to work on volume, volume, volume. And based on the board meeting we just had, we're getting away from that. It's quality, quality, quality. And so without constant and ongoing communication, that doesn't mean talking the boss's ear off. It means communicating in a way that needs to be done, in a way that the boss prefers. It's been said, do unto others the way that you would have them do unto you. And I'm going to adjust that Bible verse a little bit. Do unto others the way they would have you do it unto them. Talk to them the way they want. If they like a quick text message, then you got to get that done. If they like everything in Excel spreadsheet with cool numbers and colors of what's green, what's yellow, and what, then do it that way. If they're the type of person who likes to sit down over a cup of coffee or does a stand-up huddle, whatever it is, you've got to pay attention to these things. Or you might get a call from your boss, Paul, and it's crazy. How in the world could you possibly get laid off? There's hundreds of thousands of new jobs that have been created throughout the year of 2019, and there's no stopping it for 2020 where we are now. So the thinking could be, I can't miss. But I'm here to tell you, you can. And without taking positive steps that you decide are important to you, you're putting yourself at risk. You're sabotaging your own career, and you don't even recognize it.
And that's what we're talking about, avoiding career self-sabotage. We're talking with Mark Gonska, EVP, Chief Connections Officer. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And we will be right back.
If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsinME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsinme.com. That's jobsinme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At 154 years old, Verrill Dana has an illustrious history and more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill Dana serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill Dana, one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact them today at verrilldana.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by cmacareer.com and verrill-law. We're talking with Mark Gonska, Chief Connections Officer. And we're talking about avoiding career self-sabotage. Mark, you know, here's the question, because we're talking about obviously avoiding this self-sabotage, things that you're working and you're like, hey, I couldn't be possibly fired. But doesn't it really, at the end of the day, really come down to what do you really want? And is this an exciting place for you? And maybe complacency is set in or some of those challenges, maybe it's not as much fun as it used to be. Talk a little bit about some of the mindset that is a real challenge for a career that is really bought on by yourself.
Excellent question, Dave. So in a typical career, we work about 85,000 hours, if you can imagine that. Sometimes it feels like we tried to do 85 hours this day.
I'm thinking 85,000 this week, but we'll move on.
The truth of it is we spend more time working and with our peers at work, our waking hours. We spend more time at work than any place else. And it's a pretty daunting task, but we can take that time for granted. And we can, you mentioned the word, I think, complacency. We can assume that Thursday is going to be a lot like a repeat of Wednesday. And we've been at a company for quite a period of time, so perhaps we don't get there with the same amount of energy and enthusiasm because I may be the receiver who's lost a step, but I make it up in technique. We can start rationalizing lots of different things that really can impact our performance in some subtle and not in and of themselves, some dramatic ways. But keep in mind, there are other rookies coming up the ladder here. And so we want to pay attention to some of those things. A way that you can fall off the track a little bit is to have no concept of where you're going in 2020 and what are the things that you and your group will do that will make a difference to whether your company is going to get where they need to go in 2020 or whether they won't. If I ask people in business, oftentimes HR leaders, so what's your plan for 2020? Oh, we're going to grow. Ah, that sounds pretty good. So what specific things in your HR space need to happen in order, well, we're going to get good people. Okay, so what are the most specific initiatives that are going to make it or break it for the first quarter here of 2020? Sometimes I get crickets. Frankly, pretty frequently I get crickets. Because there's no real sense of how HR fits into the whole plan of the business. And there's a danger point, Dave, because without a sense of the value that HR is adding, really bringing the fuel to the whole organization, the human fuel, the human resource, if we don't understand how that works, if we can't brand and articulate that, then HR is seen as one thing only, a cost center. Now, what do we want to do with cost centers?
Reduce them.
If possible, we could outsource that cost center and maybe eliminate it altogether. I mean, wouldn't that be swell in 2020? No. Okay, but it's our own fault. And some of it is the failure to understand what's actually coming out of our own mouths. For instance, what do you do here? I'm just a generalist. Have you ever heard that?
Oh, many times.
Okay. Well, the word generalist bugs me beyond anything I could say on the radio. Because when I ask someone who's, quote, just, and I think the word just should be stricken from our vocabulary in 2020, we should have the word just posted by our monitors with a big red circle around it and a line cut through that says, no, I'm not saying I'm just anything. Because the word just undermines the contribution that we make. But if you're just a generalist, oftentimes it's I'm a jack or a Jane of all trades. And then how do you fill in the rest of that story? I'm a jack of all trades, but a
master of none.
Master of absolutely nothing. Wow, I never thought of it that way. Yeah, you're undermining your own value. Who wants to pay and increase the compensation and promote somebody who's a jack of all trades but not particularly good at much of anything they can articulate?
Not too many people.
Happens all the time.
Yes, it does. You know what's interesting about that statement is, and you hear it as well as I do, and this is from HR or leaders, but Mark, it's the way it is here. It's been that way for, I've been here 15 years. We always do it this way. It's always the challenge. We just can't find that type of talent. It's the same thing. You know, leadership isn't going to change. This is going to be the same thing.
Yeah. We're not on the cutting edge, but man, we've survived another year. We got 2019 behind us. We're kind of, a little better than average, but we're not going to rock the boat. I call that the Denny's menu syndrome. Everything's there, but nothing's particularly very good. It's not a good way to govern and guide your career. Identify something that you're very passionate about, that you're very good at, that has a big impact on the organization. You got to be known for something. So what is it? Are you known for the person who enhances the corporate culture? Are you known for the person who brings an individual on board of the organization in special, unique, and caring ways that may not cost a lot, but boy, they have a lasting impact, and now the company's known as the organization that brings a new person on and keeps them for life. What's that worth?
Yeah, and typically you'll find that person is negative, right? They start going down a negative path. You know, it's always been that way, and I'm certainly not going to change it, Mark. You know, I don't want to rock the boat, man. So be it. You know, I just got to last out the next five years here. That's what I got to do.
I tried that 7-8 years ago. It didn't work. Well, really? How about trying it again in 2020?
You know, that takes a lot of energy, Mark. I don't know if I have the energy to do that. You know, it's a lot of work here. You know, and we're pretty successful here.
Yeah, and besides, I'm not getting any younger.
That's right. I'm not getting any younger, right?
Can you?
It's so true. All this is so true. Hopefully the audience is just smiling because we all know that this is exactly real life. This is what we hear.
Can you imagine how you're undermining your career? Anytime you give your age in 2020, if you've been in the workforce longer than a decade like I have, you better put the word only in front of your age. Dave, I'm only 62. There's a different expectation. I've got the best years ahead. I'm full of it. I got more energy now than when I was 22. Well, I don't feel that way. You better sound that way. You better fine-tune your approach so you understand not only what's on the list of tasks that you're supposed to do, but what really matters here at the XYZ company. What's the boss's hot buttons? Do you have a feedback loop where you really talk with the boss and ask for three things? Hey, boss, let's get together at the end of the week and talk about three things. All I want is a sentence or two in these three categories. Number one, the things that you feel I'm doing really well that we should keep doing. Number two, the things that perhaps you've mentioned that I haven't gotten on top of yet that I should start doing. And number three, I bet you can guess, the things that you feel, boss, I need to stop doing. Now, how could I do that? I've worked here for years. It's more important if you worked for years because there's so many assumptions, there's so many unspoken needs that never get brought to the table, and then you get to meet the outplacement guy in the corner office. It happens. Or you get passed over for a promotion that you're qualified for.
You know, to that point, you share some statistics, and it's a recent survey by Vital Smarts found that 83% of people have seen someone make a blunder that had catastrophic results for their career, reputation, or business, and 69% admitted that they themselves had done something that had damaged their careers. It isn't interesting that so many people don't realize how they can sabotage their own career. I do find it fascinating in terms of that you either become so oblivious to what's going on or so comfortable in the role you're in or so disengaged from what you're doing that you just don't see it.
Yeah, I call that the autopilot syndrome, where we've essentially just kind of rolling along. And it's sad to see because there could be so much more potential. No, we've had cuts and we don't have enough people. I've got my hair is on fire. I've got so many things to do. You have no idea. Well, what is your plan for 2020? Where are you going? And if you don't have an individual development plan that you've created, I'm not talking of one that the company has provided for you, but where are you going? What's your plan for 2020? How do you want to increase your skill set? How do you want to explore some things that you're passionate about? How do you want to make some new relationships in the organization where you are? How can you reach outside the organization for your own career development, some networking that your boss would be thrilled with? Do you have a plan for that? And the reality is most people have put more time into planning next summer's vacation at Cape Cod than they have any thought or consideration to where their career is going. And if it's to be, it's up to me. I've got to decide where I'm going, because if I don't know, nobody else can help me get there.
You know, Mark, that's going to be the topic completely of our next segment. But before we head out, we got about a minute or two. Tell people, I know you've been on the show many times, so maybe there's a new listener out there. Tell people a little bit about your background and how you got into helping people develop those type of career paths.
I've always been curious, David, how do you figure out what you want to be when you grow up? And with such a big part of your life that's taken up by your work, what are we on this planet to do? So that's been the overarching goal that I have. How do you help people get connected with what they're supposed to do from a standpoint of the things that they're particularly good at from a skill standpoint, the things that their innate abilities, the way God has put them together, the job that would be a good fit for that. But not only that, the things you get up in the morning and you love to do. If we weren't working, we'd want to do these things anyway because we're passionate and interested in. And finally, we don't work in a vacuum. What's the culture looking like? What's the environment? A big company, a small company, a Dyson company where I work now, there's only 10 people here. I've worked at a place that was global prior to this. Big difference in environment. So how is it really possible for you to identify your ideal or your best, most productive workplace and get there? The U.S. economy added over 128,000 jobs. On LinkedIn alone, there's 20 million job openings. There's never been a better time to say to yourself, I need to get where I want to go. But if you don't know where that is, no one can help you get there. And that's what I love to do, is help people figure out what they want to be when they grow up and accelerate the process on getting there.
And you've done it well for so many years. I'm going to talk about how somebody can do it for themselves or work with somebody right after this break. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Running a company can feel like you're surrounded. A key person quits. A big project presents itself. You need good people fast. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Our contract staffing service will fill a position or find the right talent for a short-term project. Hundreds of companies choose us because we deliver people that fit. Career Management Associates, your contract staffing solution. Go to cmacareer.com.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsinme.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then,
hey!
The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM and presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Today, our guest is Mark Gonska, EVP, Chief Connections Officer for Dyson Company. And we're going to talk to you about avoiding career self-sabotage. Mark, we've talked about all the pitfalls for the last two segments. And my gosh, there are plenty. And I know we didn't hit them all. But now we're at the point that somebody's, as you put it at the end of the last segment, looking and saying, okay, I better take inventory. I better take stock. I better see where I'm going to go in my career. Maybe it's staying with an organization. Maybe it's making a change. How does somebody define a clear path for themselves?
I think step number one is developing a mindset that this is a healthy thing to do. Statistically, one out of five people is going to make a career change this year. That means one out of five did last year, and one out of five will probably make it in 20 or 21. So the reality is people do change. They make moves. Some of them make moves involuntarily, as we've talked about in the previous segment. But what about planning your own career? So when I'm working either in an executive coaching capacity or in an outplacement career transition capacity with an individual, one of the first things that I want to look at are their particular strengths and accomplishments. And let's face it, Dave, a lot of times we don't get a lot of pats on the back or even acknowledgement for the problems that we're solving or the opportunities that we've uncovered or the initiative that we've taken in our jobs. So here's a great exercise, a simple linear approach that says, here's what I identified as a problem or an opportunity at my previous job or my current position. So here's what I identified as a problem or an opportunity. Number two, here's the idea that I had on how to make things better, faster, cheaper. Number three, here's the obstacle. And finally, here's the outcome. So that simple way to write down an accomplishment can give amazing insights to some trends that you'll see perhaps across a number of years of your career or a number of different roles that you've held, because you're gravitating toward solving the same type of issues and delivering value. Let's say that one of the things that you consistently do is take a chaotic situation like a manufacturing plant floor that's just upside down. And you can take that kind of chaos and bring it into perfect harmony with the redistricting and redesigning the layout and helping people work together more effectively. That might be a common trait that you're going to see and you want to continue to use and develop. How do I take something that's confusing, simplify it, streamline it, and make it more effective? That might be a process like open enrollment that we've just been through. How do we take something that's confusing for some people and make it simpler? So understanding my own accomplishments is a great starting point. Understanding my strengths is really important. There's some types of analysis and coaching that says, let's do an analysis of all the things that you suck at doing, all your weaknesses, all your problems, and let's see if we can work really, really hard, make them better. Well, I'm here to tell you, that's not a good strategy. I'd rather identify the strengths and the accomplishments and see how we can work, spend more of our time in that space and work more on the things we're exceptionally good at doing and we can contribute. So step number one is identifying what some of those things might be.
You know, it's an interesting moment when you start self-reflecting and looking at what you do well. And I think you know this better than most. You know, we don't think that way, to be honest with you. Most people don't think about, what have I done well? I mean, when we're talking about writing resumes and doing all these things, and we ask people to come up with their accomplishments and what they have done well, people actually struggle at that. They're much quicker to talk about the things they do not so well. But again, to your point in the last segment or segment before that, people don't like to boast about themselves. Oh, I'm good. But maybe I'm not great, but I'm very good at it. But, you know, how do you get past that emotional and needed challenge of talking about the things you do really well and crowing a little bit about them so that you know inside you're ready and that you're ready to move forward?
The easiest thing to do is simply to look at the next fire that I have to put out. The tyranny of the urgent. There's no time for thinking this stuff through. And therefore, all I'm going to really focus on is a laundry list of tasks that keeps growing, 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 and I could never get it done. So if we say to ourselves, planning, and this analysis is important in many aspects of life, do you have a financial plan? Well, yeah, I do. Because if I didn't, I'd never be able to put my kid through college. Or I might be in financial trouble when I hit a particular age. So we think about our finances, even though we can't predict what's going to happen on a day-to-day basis 20 years in the future. But the planning is important, and we're going to allocate some time and work with a professional to get that done. I think we need to change our mindset about our careers. It's not necessarily just crowing about how wonderful I am, but it's thinking about it and understanding how can I add value. And sometimes that changes over time. I'm not as excited about doing exactly the same things I did 25 years ago. I'm a different person. And so I want to move toward doing more of the stuff that I'm passionate about and I love. Like talking at the HR Power Hour. I mean, how could you get better than that?
Darn straight.
But I had to throw that in. You told me. But in addition to that, how can I migrate toward the things that I'm not only the best at, but the things that really bring me joy? Well, the concept is, well, Mark, you don't understand. My job doesn't have joy. Well, maybe it's time to sit down with a coach and think that through. Because it shouldn't be a prison sentence that we're dealing with. I want to talk through those accomplishments. I want to talk through the strengths that people have. I want to talk through the realities of the marketplace. There's an incredible vacuum of talent, particularly on the leadership side. So there's more options to do different jobs or do jobs and have the mobility to move from a place that maybe isn't as good as it once was, or maybe you have a better picture of where you want to be. You're afraid to move, or you think you're going to have to take a haircut from a compensation standpoint, or that's the fear of the unknown. There could be a lot of reasons. But how about putting together a strategy, not for making a crazy career move, but how about saying to yourself in 2020, I'm going to reach out to people in a different vertical market doing something different, and I'm going to get to know them. There's a lot of ways to do that today through social media, through professional associations, through, I mean, think about it just for a moment. What if I decided that my future is in fish sticks? That's what I've always been passionate about, fish sticks. But what if I said, I could probably make one call or one email to somebody I could identify in the fish stick industry every morning? And maybe I could even make one call in the afternoon. So that's two in a day. Do we really have a time to maybe not get that next cup of coffee and have two of those outreaches? Yeah, we probably do. So two of those in a day, and there's five work days in a year, in a week, and so that's two times five. That's got to be, what, 10? And then there's 50 of those weeks. Could you imagine 500? Yeah, 500 outreaches to the fish stick industry in 1 year. Do you think I'd learn something about it? Do you think I might be able to uncover some of the movers and shakers in fish sticks? I sure could. But it starts at the beginning. What do I really want? And sometimes you need a third party to help you figure it out.
And there's no question, those simple questions, what do I want to find, what do I want to avoid, is critical to finally making those types of decisions. When we come back after this last segment, we're going to talk to Mark about some top secret tips.
Ooh.
That's right, top secret tips to avoiding career self-sabotage. Again, we're talking with Mark Gonska, Chief Connections Officer at Dyson Company. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And we will be right back.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. JobsInME.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsInME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit JobsInME.com. That's JobsInME.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at JacksonLewis.com. That's JacksonLewis.com.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM, presented by Career Management Associates, CMAcareer.com, and Verrill at Verrill-Law.com, and of course, all our great sponsors that sponsor the HR Power Hour. Today, our guest has been Mark Gonska. He's the Executive Vice President, Chief Connections Officer at Dyson Company, and we're talking about avoiding career self-sabotage. Mark, I know you have some top secret tips. These are so secret that we've kept them in a mayonnaise jar at Funk and Wagner's. Oh, wait a minute. You know, it's funny. I've been listening to the Johnny Carson reruns on XM, so I'm already talking in those old terms. People are like, who's Johnny Carson? Anyways, we move on. What are some of the top secret tips?
Well, Dave, I don't usually share these without a tremendous bit of concern, but then for the listeners to the HR Power Hour, I'm willing to open that vault and actually let out some of the top secret tips for career success in 2020. And one of them is, don't enter the witness protection program. Don't plead the fifth. Don't be the invisible woman or the invisible man. Whether you're introverted or extroverted, decide that you're going to speak up, speak out. Not only listen, but also talk when you have something to say in 2020. Don't be the invisible woman. When you're in a business meeting, listen closely. And when you could perhaps get through it without saying anything, raise your hand, speak up, add value. You will get noticed if you open your mouth or open your keyboard and give some insightful comments. And there's a variety of ways to get noticed. One is to reach out and meet new people. You could do in a professional association. Another way to do that is with tools like LinkedIn. In 2016, Bill Gates and his friends paid $26 billion for LinkedIn. There's a reason. So what if you posted an article on LinkedIn? And maybe you've never done that. Well, maybe it's not any tougher than forwarding something that struck your fancy and that you read in your LinkedIn feed. Commenting on your own with a line or two and doing this on a regular basis can make a difference. What about congratulating somebody with sincere praise and specific praise? There's ways you can shine a brighter light on you. We just finished up the holidays. Yeah, but 2020 is going to have a Thanksgiving to it in November of 2020, and maybe reaching out to a couple people a day and telling them that you're thankful for them. Gratitude is a topic that's gotten a lot of play, but we want to make sure that one of the top secret tips for career success, leave the witness protection program, speak up, speak out, and don't stay behind your desk. Get out from behind your keyboard. There's another great meeting out there. There's another leadership group in your town that you could be part of. There's an association that drastically needs somebody as smart and good-looking as you are. And it's a great opportunity for us to practice on our own marketing and branding when somebody says, so what do you do? And maybe we haven't even answered that question much. Or we answer it with a title that doesn't make sense. How about answering it with the biggest problem that you solve? I help organizations accelerate their growth by bringing in the best and brightest people. That's different than saying, I'm just a generalist who does a little recruiting and a lot of everything, but not. No, we're not going there. Get out of the witness protection program.
So really good tip, Mark. We have a couple more minutes for the second top secret tip, and I know kind of what it is because it's so obvious. Realize that, you know, no job is everlasting, and you got to start somewhere, right, to think about your career. Talk about that.
There's an old saying that wise men, and I dare say women, do as they choose and fools as they must. Wise men do as they choose, fools as they must. So, did you ever put a seatbelt on before you started your drive to work in the morning? Of course, because you were anticipating that it'd be smarter to have the seatbelt. So, what's your plan for 2020? What's your career plan for 2020? If you lost a job tomorrow, dare to have a contingency plan. And that means that some of these relationships that we just talked about become very, very important. 4 out of 5 jobs will be captured through talking with the right people. But it's a lot harder to do when you have to. So start doing it now in 2020, talking with people in the vertical markets and the fields that you're most interested in. Get a plan together on where you want to go, either within your current organization or outside.
You know, it's such a key role, and I'll say it just because it's the truth. People just need to get out and do it, right? They just need to make it happen. They need to take that self-evaluation of their self and their career. Mark, we got 30 seconds. What's the last final thing you want to share today?
Make it happen today. Don't wait till mañana, because tomorrow may never come.
Excellent advice. We've been talking with Mark Gonska, Executive Vice President, Chief Connections Officer for Dyson Company, and we've been talking about avoiding career self-sabotage. And of course, as you look forward in 2020, can you believe it? 2020, what are you going to do different, and how are you going to make a difference? Mark, thank you so much for being on the show today.
It's been a delight, Dave. Thanks so much.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
This is Liz Johnston from Verrill. Sometimes, after an employee engages in misconduct, you might make the decision to terminate the employment relationship. And because you know that documentation is important, you've probably given the employee documented verbal warnings, written warnings, or have otherwise noted the misconduct in the employee's personnel file. One step that gets overlooked, however, is fully documenting a final instance of misconduct that leads to termination. Having this information, including information about the final incident of misconduct, the timing of the decision to terminate, and who was involved in the decision, can be critical to contest a former employee's claim for unemployment or a claim of wrongful termination. For more information about documenting employee misconduct or termination decisions, contact me or another member of Verrill's Employment and Labor Practice Group.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.